was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God. The only begotten God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have everlasting life.
O Lord, open thou my lips,
and my mouth shall show forth thy praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
In the latter time, the Lord has made glorious the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He grew up like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. He will swallow up the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces and the shame of his people. He will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall rest on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means "God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand
until I make your enemies your footstool."
The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter.
Rule in the midst of your enemies.
Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments.
From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours.
The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind.
You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Thank you.
shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. In the name of Jesus.
Merry Christmas.
The account of our Lord's conception and birth
has all the makings of a tragedy about it. If you didn't know the full story, it would sound a bit like this. A young, unmarried woman has a surprise pregnancy. Because of a government-mandated census, she gives birth while traveling away from home. She and her fiancé are poor, almost homeless. When the birth happens, they're staying in something like a barn, a space suitable for domesticated animals, but not for people. The child is wrapped in a simple cloth, laid in a feed trough. He begins life in squalor and misery, covered with dirt and with dust. It's perhaps not quite a ghetto or a shelter, but it's not all that different either. He's just another number for the census, a person who might as well be anonymous, a nobody. The world takes no notice of him. And if you had seen that happening, you might have wondered about this child. What will become of this child? What will happen to him? It probably wouldn't have surprised people to find out that this child would die in the prime of life, only a few miles from where he'd been born. The circumstances of his birth would seem then to foretell the circumstances of his death. They also wouldn't be surprised to hear that he died a notorious death as a criminal, first being publicly shamed and then brutally executed. You might say that there's a dark poetic justice to it. He entered the world naked, and he would leave the world naked. He was humiliated at his birth. He would be humiliated at his death. As a newborn, he was laid in a wooden manger, and as a grown man, he would be laid on a wooden cross. Had the people in Bethlehem that night known how it would end for this child, they might have nodded their heads and simply said, "We're not surprised." What do you expect of someone born into these circumstances? And that's often how it seems, doesn't it? You are whatever you're born into. If you're born an elite into the upper crust, then you'll stay elite in the upper crust. But if you're born working class, then you are and always will be working class. I know that's not entirely true in our day, but it's still generally true. The apple never does fall far from the tree. Yes, parents tell their children that they can do whatever they want and they can be anything they want, but it rarely works out that way. Those at the top tend to stay at the top. Those at the bottom tend to stay at the bottom. And the great many in between, well, they tend to stay in between as well. And back in the time when Jesus was born, it was even more extreme. There was no change, no mobility, no movement, no future, especially for someone born in a stable and laid in a manger. Fate seems to rule our lives as well. Often we feel like we're stuck with the way things are, that we're stuck with our lives the way they are, that we're stuck with ourselves the way we are. But it's not our social standing that matters most, it's our spiritual standing. And if you are what you're born into, then we're all doomed. From Adam and Eve until the end of time, it would be one great big tragedy. And each of our lives would be tragic too. Why do I say this? Because it would mean that we're all stuck. If there is no change, if nothing new ever happens under the sun, then we're all stuck in the squalor of our own sin, and we're stuck with the misery of death. And it wouldn't matter whether we came from wealth or poverty or whatever. We'd just be stuck with those things. There would be no escape, no escape ever from our sharp tongues and our lustful eyes and our rude demeanors and our angry and bitter hearts. And there would be no reason for us to fight against these things or to struggle against our sin. We could simply resign ourselves to our sin and to death We could just shrug our shoulders and say, what do you expect of someone born into these circumstances? It was fated to be like this. Yes, it has all the makings of a tragedy, except for one thing, except for that child. It's true the pregnancy was a surprise, but the greatest surprise is not that this woman is pregnant, but that this young unmarried woman is still a virgin. That she's still a virgin even though she's pregnant and even after she gives birth, because this child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And it's true that she gave birth while on the road, but there was a power higher than Caesar Augustus that brought them to Bethlehem. God had promised that the Messiah would be born in the city of David. And yes, this child was born in a stable and wrapped in swaddling cloths like an animal. But then again, he came to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yes, he was put in a manger where animals feed, but what else would you expect of one who is to be the bread of life, who came down from heaven for the entire world? What you see doesn't tell the whole story. And if you think that this is the story of a great tragedy, then you are definitely mistaken, because this is the story of your redemption. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Yes, it is her son, but he is also the very Son of God. And he has come to redeem us from the tragedies of our lives. He has come to redeem us from the tragedy of our sin. He has come to rescue us from the squalor and filth and dust and dirt of this fallen world. He has come to save us from the circumstances of our births and from the inevitability of our deaths. He has come to give us a future beyond what fate dictates. And I will tell you this about the child born in Bethlehem. Though his birth may not have mattered much to anyone, your birth and your life, and yes, even your death, matter a great deal to him. To him, no one is just a number. No one is anonymous. No one means nothing, not even you. And no one is too lowly. No one is too humiliated. No one is too lost for him. Not even you. No one is so stuck in sin that they are beyond his forgiveness. Not even you. So what will become of this child? What will happen to him? He will do what he was appointed to do. He will save his people. He enters the tragedy of sin and death to interrupt that tragedy and to bring it to an end. And he does it by sticking a cross in the spokes of fate. That's what our Lord does. He comes to the manger that he might go to the cross. He's born a baby so that he may redeem you by his blood. He bought us back from the fate that was in store for us, even death and hell. Yes, I know we still live with sin and death, but I'm here to tell you tonight that because of him, the tragedy is over. The power of sin is broken. The hold that death has on our lives is limited. Yes, they may sting us. They may bite us. But they cannot have us. They cannot rule over us. Not now, not ever. For the child has been born, who undoes the work of sin, who conquers death itself. So that no matter whether you are rich or poor, no matter whether you are high or low, this child was born for you. And the announcement that the angels made to the shepherds is the announcement that was given for you as well. Fear not, for behold, I bring you great news, good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you, yes, even you, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also a true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy and precious blood, and with his sins and suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
Christ,
have mercy upon us.
Lord,
have mercy upon us.
Let us pray. O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whose grace once again we celebrate our Savior's birth, we stand in your presence with holy joy because you have fulfilled the promises you made to our first parents after the fall, to the patriarchs, to Moses and the prophets, and to all your ancient people who waited for the salvation of Israel. Accept, we pray, our humble tribute of praise and thanksgiving, and grant that through your Son's birth, all of us here may be born again in our spirits to the blessed future of everlasting life. O Jesus, Son of God, we bless you for becoming flesh of our flesh and for making us rich beyond thought with overwhelming gifts from the treasures of your grace. You have made reconciliation for all sins so that now we have peace with God and entrance to the Father. You became the Son of Man to make us children of God in you. Give us all a pure, childlike faith to adore you in your loveliness, and give us grace to see the glory shining through the veil of your humanity, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Speak to us the words of life, that we may love you as you have loved us. Be our light in darkness, our plenty in need, and our ever-present help in trouble. And as you descended from heaven to earth to save us, give us power to ascend from earth to heaven to the glory of your great and awesome name. O Holy Spirit, we praise you for your comfort and guidance. Turn our hearts to ponder deeply on the sublime mystery of God's birth as man, and help us to embrace our Redeemer in true faith as our most precious possession. Fill our hearts with his peace, his comfort, his life, and his joy. Let us celebrate this feast so that when it ends, we will, with your blessing on us, take up again the burdens of our different callings, rejoicing in our salvation and delighting to do your will. O holy triune God, who would rather be praised for mercy than for justice, we glorify you, for you have turned your eyes toward the lowly. Let your covenant of peace endure forever, so that we may rejoice in you now and in the endless world to come. Amen.
Amen. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.